Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Governor Pat McCrory's budget recommendations include adding some of the teacher positions back to public schools that were cut in the last 2 years, but he wants to pay for them by firing 3,000 teacher assistants. Overall, McCrory's budget would leave North Carolina at or near the bottom of the country in education spending and teacher pay. Here to talk about the governor's budget proposal and the plan to take power to regulate charter schools away from the State Board of Education is outgoing State Board Chair Bill Harrison. Dr. Harrison, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
I always appreciate being with you, Chris. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, a lot to talk about in the few minutes that we have together. First, I guess we haven't had a chance to talk since the governor's budget was released. It seemed to many, I think, like a mixed bag for education, funding for new teachers, but an end to 3,000 teacher assistants. What was your overall reaction to the public school budget that we saw from Governor McCrory?
To me, it doesn't really demonstrate a commitment to education. I think adding 1,800 teachers plays well, but when you look at cutting 3,200 teacher assistants, it really makes it a wash. Schools had flexibility to convert teacher assistant positions into teacher positions if they so wished. I've not looked at the numbers to see, you know, what type of growth is expected next year. So my sense is we're not going to be a whole lot better off than we've been the last couple of years. I've been working in Edgecombe County with the superintendent and his staff, and as they're preparing the budget, their budget, they're planning on making significant cuts. So I suspect that's happening all across the state.
The state board received reports recently that teacher pay, I believe, is 46th in the country. The NEA's stats show we're 48th in per-pupil expenditures. Were you hoping that maybe we could do something this year to improve those rankings?
I was, and I was actually somewhat optimistic that we'd put some things off to the side right now and really focus on the people out there working so hard in the classroom. We've simply not treated teachers the way they need to be treated the last 5 years or so, and unfortunately that's going to continue. Again, I think that needs to be our priority. It's a people business at the end of the day. I've said it over and over again that it comes down to the teachers working with students in the classrooms, and we simply need to support that.
Speaking of teachers, Senate President Pro Tem Phil Berger has again filed an education reform package, picking up where he left off last session, which talks a lot about teachers, how they're paid, what rights, employment rights they may lose. What's your reaction to the legislation, and I guess in sort of the underlying attitude it seems to express about our teachers?
To me, it comes across anti-teacher. I think the underlying message is we have all these lousy teachers out there that we need to find a way to be able to get rid of easily, and that's not the truth. We certainly have some teachers we need to do a better job on counseling out or finding something else for them to do. But the vast majority of our teachers are solid, doing a good job for boys and girls out there across the state, and I'd like to see the conversation shift towards providing support for them. I think that, you know, tenure, we need to do away with tenure. That's become such a lightning rod, even though I don't think it is what many people think it is, but I think teachers need some protection. I mean, I've worked in multiple school systems across the state. I've spent the last 4 years traveling the state, and, you know, teachers need some type of due process protection. It needs to be more than an at-will employee. I'd really like us to consider looking at a contract situation like we have with principals and assistant principals. I think until about 1995, 96, principals had tenure. They did away with that, put them on a contract. That provides some due process rights. It's not quite as difficult removing someone as it was with the tenure, but it's also not something that someone can do at will.
It's interesting that you said that the message of Senator Berger was seeming to blame teachers some, and at the same time, the General Assembly and the governor, I guess, continue this trend, is either eliminating or has eliminated almost all professional development for the very same teachers that they're criticizing.
Yes, I have a difficult time making sense out of a lot of it. I think we've taken just about everything away that supports teachers. We don't provide a penny for professional development from the state level, you know, other than what we might distribute through Race to the Top or federal dollars. We have done away with the Teaching Fellows Program. We've done away with the Teacher Academy, which was quality professional development. I think I've read that NCAT was cut in the governor's budget. We always talk about the business model, and I don't think there's a successful business out there that makes progress by beating down its employees. They recruit, select, and develop the very best people, and they work to grow them, and then they move them out. And again, I don't I think we need to keep people around who aren't doing the job, but I think the conversation needs to be a little bit more balanced.
Another big issue before the General Assembly this session, as it was last year, is charter schools, also some measures of privatization or vouchers. But first I want to ask you about the charter school issue. There's a proposal by Senator Tillman to create the North Carolina Public Charter Schools Board, which would actually have the sole authority to approve charter schools, which currently resides with the State Board of Education. I know that idea was floated last year. What do you think of that plan?
Well, I think it creates another bureaucracy. That in and of itself, to me, is problematic. But I also think constitutionally, the public schools rest under the purview of the State Board of Education. And public charters are public schools. They're an alternative to public schools. And I believe they need to stay with the State Board of Education. I believe that we demonstrated good faith in carrying out the wishes of the General Assembly. We put together a charter school advisory council that had broad representation, and I think we're moving in the right direction. I just think we need to kind of look at the vision that the State Board adopted, and can we not find a way to work together to acknowledge that there are good alternatives to our traditional public schools, but rather than becoming increasingly divisive, we need to find a way to get together if we're truly concerned about all kids. I continue to have problems and concerns with privatization. You've heard, I think I've said it on the show, that for-profit, at the end of the day, means for-profit. And sometimes the focus may become something a little bit different than it needs to be.
I get the sense, and I don't think this is probably true of all the charter advocates, certainly, but there's almost a feeling in some of the advocates for some charter schools that any charter is a good charter and that we shouldn't be very discerning, and we should give all these parents and nonprofits and for-profits an opportunity to start any school they want and sort of, like the private market, just let them survive or not and deal with the consequences.
I think there's a little bit out there. I think you're exactly right. I will say that the Charter School Advisory Council has been a diverse group, diversity of opinion, diversity of political leanings, but they've been committed to quality charters, and they've probably been more discerning than we would have been as a state board by ourselves. So, again, I think we have something that's been in place for a very short time that has demonstrated commitment to the wishes of the General Assembly and commitment to young people, and has made some progress.
As your tenure ends as chair of the State Board or is coming to an end, what sort of thoughts do you have for the folks who are coming in now? What would you tell people who are beginning this journey as members of the State Board of Education?
I would encourage them to really keep students first. One of the things we started doing about 4 years ago was closing our meeting by me asking the question, what have we done for kids today? That too often at local boards, at state boards, any governing boards, we get involved with issues that are not really at the core of what we're doing, or they're not about our mission. And you know, at the end of the day, we need to bring everything back to our youngsters. And what do we want for our youngsters? What type of opportunities do we want them to have? And how can we get there? I'd ask them to be open, consider different alternatives. I think one of the things that I think I've done over the past 4 years is I've grown and I've shifted some a perspective a little bit. That would be my advice. Let's just stay focused on kids and try to develop some relationships where we're becoming more and more divisive.
Finally, before we let you go, what's next for you?
I'm talking with a couple of groups. I've had some conversations with folks in higher education, with a couple of foundations. I'm having a good time now, working 2.5 days a week, supporting the superintendent and his staff in Edgecombe County. He's a bright young superintendent that's going to really get this thing going how it needs to be going. I'm doing some teaching. I'm working with the Distinguished Leadership Program and providing support for principals. So I'm keeping my hands in probably closer to the important stuff that I've been the last 4 years.
Well, thanks for all your service, all you did on the State Board, and what you'll continue to do. We really appreciate you being with us.
Well, absolutely. It's my pleasure, Chris, and thank you for your support of public education.
Up next, how an increase in the minimum wage could help North Carolina. Stay with us.